There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to Drive Live with Tim and NLT, and we're going to catch up with CNN's John Defterios now, and I believe he is actually in Dubai. John, warm welcome.
Hello, Natalie. I'm here for the Arab travel market, so quite a bit of coverage over the next couple of days.
So you're near yet so far still, John. We'll get you in here one day.
So hey, anytime. I'm just waiting for the invitation. You know, so, come on.
It's open-ended. I promise you, John, it's open-ended. We're going to start with a few words from Trump this week. He's had a few choice words for OPEC, really.
Yes, he has. You know, I was trying to figure out the right analogy for this, Natalie. Either the shotgun approach or a rifle approach is what he's using, as opposed to he wants to be very direct. I mean, I used to think that he took a shotgun and just kind of sprays everywhere. I think this is more calculated. He's using social media to basically keep those off balance. And at the very minimum, and I think it's more than this, but the very minimum, he wants those who are driving this strategy of taking energy off the market, and which has led to, in part, to the price boost that we've seen today, to rethink the strategy. So he uses social media to say, you probably haven't thought, I have this in my mind right now, and it's on my radar. So Saudi Arabia, we're partners. We're not really in favor of Russia right now, or at least he has to appear that way. Maybe you should be a little bit more collaborative. Now, there's a very distinct answer for that, that everybody kind of benefits from higher prices. We can follow up on that. But he wants to foster an internal debate between OPEC and non-OPEC players. And look at the narrative. I mean, since Friday, everyone's talking about the fact he attacked OPEC and this agreement that they have. The reality is that OPEC, though, and their non-OPEC partners are looking at a five-year running average of excess supplies. It's been running very high, and that's why they extended this program through all of 2018. It may even spill into 2019. Now, what Trump's trying to do is say, okay, I get what you're trying to do for 2018. Let's not see it spill over to 2019 and get $100 oil, which, by the way, some sources I've spoken to in the kingdom think that it's possible in 2019 if this program stays intact and demand stays higher. That's what the goal is potentially there, back to triple-digit oil. And I think that's something he would think would be too painful because of petrol prices or gas prices for his rank and file in the Midwest and south of the United States.
But that's an interesting point, but I suppose OPEC can counter that immediately by saying, look, a recovery in price, higher prices mean it's good news for U.S. shale producers. There's some truth in that, isn't there?
Yes, and it's always trying to find the Goldilocks scenario, Tim. You know, it's not too hot, not too cold. Shale producers make money, and this is a generalization, but it's a pretty accurate one, from $60 and above, some even less. So $60 to $75 a barrel is kind of prime time for everybody, and it works. I think what Trump is saying is that, okay, this to $80, and then you have a risk premium built in. And I think the risk premium, this is risk built into the oil price, of $10, perhaps even $15 a barrel now. And what do I mean by that? You have, you know, risk in Syria, right? Because you had the bombings from the United States. You know, Russia's involved, or, you know, a large exporter of oil. The sanctions on Iran are going to be revisited, you know, May 12th. Venezuela, which a lot of people don't talk about, has lost about 2 million barrels of its production. It's in, like, crisis mode, so that oil is not available. Even in the last, you know, 48 hours, we've seen pipeline attacks on Libya. Now, those aren't things you can predict, but you can predict that the Middle East remains unstable, and Venezuela is going to remain in the tank. So that's risk premiums in the market today. But, you know, to your point here, Mohamed Barkindo, I know very well, as Secretary General of OPEC, said, you know, and this is a quote from him, we pride ourselves on being friends of the United States. Rick Perry, the U.S. Energy Secretary, was on my panel, the CNN Money Round table on energy, and Davos, put there by the Saudis. They want a dialogue with the United States. They think it's better to sustain a decent price for oil. So shale producers invest. The market's supplied. The Gulf producers make money. The members of OPEC make money. Russia makes money. But I get Trump's point. If it goes kind of out of control because of the risk premium, which, by the way, he's behind some of that risk, right? Syria, he's getting active in Syria. He's getting active when it comes to Iran. So he's responsible for it. So he's got to take responsibility for that risk premium that's built into the price, if you will.
And John, if we can turn our attention to Saudi Arabia. We talked about this on Thursday, cinemas opening for the public over the weekend. How important is this? Can you put a bit of context into how significant
It
is?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to be there Wednesday and Thursday, and Wednesday night there's going to be kind of a very public opening, you know, one that's not laced with VIPs that we saw over the weekend. This is going to be kind of true blue public opening. It's the norm in the UAE, right? We don't think twice about cinemas being open and what's showing there. There are some limited restrictions on the movies, a lot of action movies, and less of what you see in the West, but that's accepted here, and I think it's actually a very good selection. So no complaints on that front. That wasn't allowed under, you know, Sharia law, under the Wahhabi interpretation, the very conservative interpretation that we see in Saudi Arabia. I've met, as you know, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia twice, and he says, look, you know, don't judge Islam by what we have in Saudi Arabia today. There is moderate Islam. There's nothing in the Quran that says it has to be interpreted this way. I want to take Saudi Arabia back 50 years, 40 years, when we were more liberal interpretation that you see in the UAE and some other states in the Middle East and North Africa, in fact, around the world as well. And this is what he's trying to get at here. We want a more open society, a more moderate society. We don't want people leaving the country to go get their entertainment, particularly, you know, movies. And I was on the phone today with Majid Al Futtaim, which has one of the initial contracts. I mean, they're dedicating 16 billion riyals to Saudi Arabia, both for, you know, the Saudi Mall, the Mall of Saudi, and some 600 cinema screens. It's a revolution if you think about it that way. So there's purchasing power, there's economic growth, there's job opportunity, particularly for the youth, in this transition, and it allows the Saudis to enjoy their life and not have to leave. By the way, I think we have to consider it becomes another destination over time. It's one of the stories we're doing at the Arab travel market, and some inherent competition for the other countries. If he moves here to open up the economy, Saudis don't have to leave. It's the largest economy in the region. They have to leave their country all the time. They spend at home, create jobs at home, and it creates more competition for other countries. So it is radical for Saudi Arabia in the move, I think, Natalie.
It's the pace of change, isn't it, as well, John? You mentioned 600 screens there. That's in a very short time. The time frame isn't an extended time frame. I'm just thinking of the momentum that's building here in terms of the change, in terms of the reforms in Saudi Arabia. There is now a need to, I guess, for the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to keep delivering.
Well, this is very important. If there's a criticism, and I'm not going to criticize him on this, but if there's a criticism of the overall plan, is that it's too big, too wide, and he has also security issues on his mind when it comes to Yemen, for example, right? So it's a very complex melange that he has on his table because he's trying to tackle a lot. On the ground, they say it had to be big, had to be bold, even the corruption crackdown, that's the methodology he wants to use because he's trying to put in radical change. I would think that the agenda is a little bit too wide for any society to handle it that quickly, so I hope I'm proven wrong. But he's trying to do a sweeping change to diversify the economy. So with oil prices higher, he has to make sure that his people don't get complacent and say, well, do we really need to go through this radical, you know, transformation and diversify? And the answer is yes. So that's the double-edged sword of higher energy prices. But he has to keep the momentum up. So the cinemas, I think, Natalie, to your point, are a big deal because it's a signal that he's pushing ahead with it. NEOM, he has to get some traction on the big project that borders Jordan and Egypt. The Red Sea resorts he's promising has to get some traction. The UNESCO heritage site that he's planning to open up to tourists, the tourist visa is important. Even I'm talking to Saudi Airlines tomorrow. They're going from 147 planes to 200 planes by a short time frame, 2020. So they're coming onto the market in a big way. 20 airports getting restructured in Saudi Arabia, $7 billion spent in Jeddah alone. It's a radical transformation, a lot of money at stake here to get the diversification done. But he has to prove he can deliver it all. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a big agenda, so he has to keep that momentum up. And the signal this week, by the way, is a big one. It's a big change, and he got it through.
John Deftarios, normally in Abu Dhabi, this week for 1 week only in Dubai. Thank you very much for joining us.
And we'll see you in the studio if that's an agreement. We'll have to set the date.
I think we can make this happen. John, take care.
That's not a date between NLT and I. It's just a date in your studio. Let me be very clear for the married man.
Yeah, I'm open to offers, John.
All right. Take care. Take care.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.